There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome to Inside the Wolf's Den. We're here for another episode. My name is Sean Wolfswinkel. I'm here joined by my lovely bride, Joni.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back.
And we also brought Brett Moses from behind the camera up front and with us here. And we're excited about this week because we're going to be talking about customer service and, more importantly, the customer service experience. And Brett is, number one, a top-notch like educator. He helps our everybody within our companies and just level their game as far as delivering superior customer service. So welcome.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Brett.
And thank you for those kind words. Yeah. I appreciate being here. I'm used to being on the other side of the camera, pushing buttons. So I have an instinct to run over there and make sure sounds are level and that I bounce between camera. But we're just going to do one wide shot and let it roll.
Yeah. We're sort of flying blind. Well, this is, you add a lot of value to our company. And, have helped our company grow in this aspect. So I think it's great that you're here with us today.
I appreciate the opportunity. You know, I remember when this podcast was just not a dream, it was an idea. And we talked about things we wanted to do or things you guys had planned. And so here we are. We're doing
absolutely,
this.
Absolutely, yeah. It's great. It's fun, too. So we enjoy it.
Yeah. Awesome. So Brett, if you don't know, is usually he's the producer and behind the camera and running everything and making this all happen. So, but we wanted to really bring him and have him lead this because I think he does such a good job in customer service. So we're excited, and let's get into it.
All right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess let's start with the difference between, customer service and customer experience, right?
We
look at it as, I would say, customer service is more reactive and customer experience is proactive.
Absolutely,
yeah,
yes.
What's your take on that, Brett?
You got it right. In the customer service experience, you want to anticipate what the customer might be feeling, right? And head those off if there's going to be trouble. Or it could be just calling or texting or emailing happy birthday when it counts, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so those are the difference, those personal connections. That's what makes for a great customer experience right? We all know when we've experienced this with restaurants or companies that we do business with, but to implement it into your own company and to get buy-in from every member of the organization, from reception all the way through to our sales associates out there, in our property management case, our CSRs, to facilitate that experience and to take those best practices and actually implement them in their interactions, that's what we have to get after.
Right.
It's tough, yeah, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have to train our staff. I mean, we train them all the time on this. And I mean, we just I started to read the book with Never Lose a Customer Again by Joey Coleman.
Great
which
book.
Is one of my favorites. I've
Absolutely.
Read that twice already.
Yes.
And I've added it to our training manual because I mean there's some great information in there. Really, I felt like it's helped us through COVID.
That's right. That's exactly right. Right now, we're using this as a textbook in our customer experience workshops, which was called customer service workshops. What we're trying to do is take everything to that next level.
Right.
That's the difference maker. Mm-hmm. That's how we grab market share. That's how we become special and we get those raving fans.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I love the book. I've read it twice now and I love going back through it just like you. I love going back through it now and sort of teaching from it because I get something different from it.
And this is the second time we've read it within our organization. So we brought it back again because we thought it was so valuable and provided so much information. So.
That's right. You guys covered this before I got here.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So it's an awesome book. Highly recommend it. You know, something we do in our organization is we read books as a company.
Yep.
And so we rotate books like probably once a quarter.
Once a quarter.
And that's how we help train and help, you know, further develop our staff. So if you aren't doing that, I highly recommend it. But this is one that we've been focusing on. So explain more about your what you lead in the customer service or customer experience. Roundup. You know, what does that entail? How often is it? You know, is it everybody? And then, like, what do you plan for that?
We do a customer experience workshop every Thursday. Every Thursday after our huddle. And what we do is we focus on best practices out there, key language that's being used to communicate with tenants, owners, whatever entity of our all of the companies that we have, whatever we need to represent in communication to those customers. And so what we do is we will problem solve, we will role play, and really teach the best practices and get them implemented, because I really believe that you can't mandate good service, right? We've all been to the workshops at the business, you know, conferences, that Saturday where you spend 2 hours listening to a keynote speaker. Those are great. I've gotten a lot of my best practices from those types of events. However, they're tough to implement into the organization. It's hard to get buy-in, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like what I try to do is inspire them to want to do it and to want to implement and take the time and effort and energy in every interaction with every customer to make that a tailor-made experience for that person on the other end of the phone or the email or the text, right, is to create a moment for them. One of the things I like to say is it's not my quote. I wish it was. Maya Angelou, which is great about this book because he touches on it without saying it directly. And that's what spoke to me, is like, that's exactly it. This is something that goes back with me all the way back to my time in the entertainment business, right? Mm-hmm. And that is people, and what she said was, people will forget what you said. Mm-hmm. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so if we as an organization, as leaders, can create that kind of culture where we inspire every member of the organization to sort of lead from the front with that on their interactions, so that they create positive feelings or at least an emotional experience with each interaction as best they can every time, that's going to add up over a period of time.
Right.
And create these relationships that you have those raving fans, right? That he speaks about in this book. There's another book called Raving Fans by Ken Blanchard. That's great. Sort of set the mantra for all of this.
Yep.
But that, anyway, that's what I try to teach in these Thursday workshops. I say teach. I don't like for it to come off too professorial, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's what I try to get across is a passion for delivering this, taking the time. And then at the end of the day, what you have to look at is, did it take too much time to do this? Did it take too much effort to do this? Did it cost us money as an organization to do this? All across those three questions is it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No. And they, I mean, from a year ago where we started, like, I mean, leaps and bounds, they've, you know, learned so much. They look forward to it, you know, and at first it was like pulling teeth trying to get them to, you know, speak up and, you know,
participate.
Yeah. And now it's like they want to know, how do I overcome this objection, or how would you say this, you know? So yeah, I mean, I think training is crucial.
Mm-hmm. I think they're even helping each other out now. Like, so they're giving their experience and what they've learned and what they did that week that demonstrated that. And then people can understand it and see it. It's not just coming from one person.
Right.
Yeah. And that's a good point. So what we try to do is give a little bit of homework each week.
Right.
So which is, you know, 2 weeks ago it was, okay, we talked a lot about creating some sort of emotional experience with each interaction. Now go try that this week. Try that with each other, us, as we're communicating through text, email, phone call, whatever app we may be using, software. Like, let's try to give ourselves some customer experience within our organization. Make sure you're doing it with each interaction that you have. And then let's report back next week and see, first of all, those three questions. Was it a lot of effort? Did it take a lot of time? How did it make you feel? And then you could add, how did it make them feel? And I think what we found this Thursday when we went through that and we had so much participation was, number one, it didn't take a lot of effort. It didn't take a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And I felt great afterwards.
Right.
And they felt great. It's almost like making a friend. And I know a lot of this can be, you know, pie in the sky, feel good stuff. But really, it just comes down to action.
Yeah.
And that comes in culture.
Right.
So you have to build the type of culture that has the enthusiasm around
I
trying
agree.
Those things
yeah,
and doing that. And so far, I think we're taking those strides. It shows in our KPIs. That's the other Absolutely. Thing is that we actually have hard data, right? So it's not just an idea. Mm-hmm. We have data to prove that this is working.
Yeah, absolutely. And for our listeners that are listening right now, you know, if you can get if the customer experience right, and yeah. you know, it's going to set you apart from the rest of your competitors, right? I mean,
sure.
I mean,
that's a good point. We're in the service industry. Mm-hmm. I say we have a lot of different companies again, but what I'm talking right now is in our property management company, right? We're in the service industry. There's other property management companies, but if they're not focused on delivering customer experience. And they're still just getting customer service right. That puts us ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And so that's a reason. But the other thing, this is what I try to communicate in each Thursday too, is that we're good people. We do a lot to hire good people. Mm-hmm. We make sure we're hiring the right people and to fit into our culture and to have the self-development want that we all have, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's you know, sort of in the fabric of who we are as a company. Mm-hmm. And so when you come aboard, that's sort of, it's not mandated. Right, it's inspired, and so that's what we have to keep doing to keep yeah. influencing the buy-in, so that we can keep getting that market share. Right. Bottom line.
Yeah, and most companies, I think most companies focus on getting in new business, you know, bringing in new clients, but then they don't focus on their core customers.
Yes,
and so they realize that the retention part of it, you know, they're losing clients out the back They're not focused on the customer experience. Yes,
great
part.
Point. We talked about in U.S. News and World Report last year, they put out an article, and 68% of people, they leave a company because of bad. They feel neglected, yeah. right? They feel mm-hmm. neglected. And 82% of those because of one singular issue mm-hmm. in which they had some problem with that company.
Yeah.
And so if we can get in front of that and be proactive, then you can keep down that churn. And, yeah. and that's part of it, because that's one of the things that I love about the tenets of his book is never lose another customer again. It's not just about going out and grabbing more customers and new customers and getting them through your sales funnel and your pipeline, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of salesmanship on the front end of that.
Just cost.
Yeah.
People don't realize how much cost it is just to acquire one customer.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You have in this book, you have 100 days to get it right.
Correct.
Yeah. And the onboarding and, you know, wowing the customer, you have 100 days, otherwise you lose them.
And it's through the handoffs mm-hmm. from the sales, from you know, accepting the agreement, coming on board, to moving through the entire system. And on our property management side, that's meeting our CSRs and going all the way through to maintenance and make ready. So it's important that there's a through line and a connection between the relationship of our company and the customer all the way through, and that it's not just focus, which so many companies do, is focus on the front, on right. the front sales.
End. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. 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 Totally on the front end. And then once they're in, okay, now we can focus on the next person yes. that we're going to, and then they forget about them. They go out the back, especially in property management companies. You see it. I mean, the ones that are good bring in a lot of accounts up front, but they're
out the door. Yeah. The back end. And one of the things that we do, you know, as soon as we hand that off, we actually assign them to a customer service manager, mm-hmm. and that customer service manager, for the most part, handles them throughout the entire, since they're with the client with us. So some of the things that they do is, you know, when they're a new client, they'll call that client, you know, for the first 6 weeks just to make sure that everything's going smoothly. You know, they don't need assistance with anything. And then, you know, we do weekly videos to them just to check in. You know, our customer service managers are always, they're their advocate, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's such an, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's such an important role. Because once we get a customer on board, right? What I love about Joy Coleman's book here is he talks about they become a member of your tribe, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So they're a member of our tribe. We have a relationship. We're bringing them into our culture. So we got to cultivate that, like we would any of our friendships or relationships that we have. Is that they're a member of our team? And how do you do that in big organizations, mm-hmm. right? Where you could have thousands of customers. Well, you have to have the right technology mm-hmm. in place. You guys are great about making sure that we have that. at our fingertips, whether it's the apps, the APIs, or the CRMs, mm-hmm. whatever it might be that we need to make sure that we're taking good notes. That's the other thing.
Right.
You know, this is almost a Herculean task if you're not taking proper notes on your customers and your clients and getting the data. And it's okay. That's okay. And I'm not saying that you need to personally remember every birthday of every customer we have. But if it's in the notes, it's okay to say, mm-hmm. hey, it says here it's your birthday coming up. I hope you have a great day, great weekend. Those are the kinds of things to go the extra mile. You have to mean it. We don't want to be automatrons and say things that we don't mean. Mm-hmm. And that's where culture comes in. Mm-hmm. That's where hiring the right people mm-hmm. that can use the software and use the technology to still come across as human beings and make great connections. Because that's what we're trying to do.
Right.
Where else, just so we can add value to the listeners, how else do we deliver that superior customer service experience? Can we give them some practical, whether is it videos? Is it, you just mentioned notes, so you have accurate information the next time that customer service mm-hmm. manager calls the next time. They know the person's birthday. They know if they were having a baby, and they talk about that, or their son's baseball game. They follow up, how did he do? And it makes a big impact. Those are some couple of ways, but how else do you...
Videos are great. Yeah. I mean, we use those in our company all the time. And in fact, during COVID... I mean, we experienced this with Hurricane Harvey as well, but just being proactive, giving them, feedback week by week on how things are in the market, mm-hmm. What's going on during COVID. I mean, I've gotten owners that email me and text me and say, hey, Joni, thank you so much for that video. I, trust you completely with my property. And, if it wasn't for you, I don't know, they probably would be calling nonstop if we wouldn't give them the feedback.
And if we did any part of it, leverage being technology. Proactive. Yeah, great point. And I think to speak to your point, Sean, is that what we do is we communicate using various different ways to show them that we are the expert. You have come to us with a mm-hmm. problem. We are the solution. We're going to take that all the way through our company and show you that we are the experts that you need for this problem. And at the same time, we're going to deliver personalized, tailor-made experience for you so you feel special. But because that's what you have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. And with one of our, I think it's in our core values and the way we deliver is we always got your back. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's another way to demonstrate that as we always, through the customer service experience, we show them that we have their back.
Right.
And going to support them throughout this whole process.
Yeah. And even our residents, the same thing with them, mm-hmm. We have their back and we, have some great programs out there for them as well to deliver the great customer experience. Want to tell them a little bit about our red carpet?
Oh, sure.
Treatment?
Yeah.
That was Brett's signature. And
absolutely.
He brought out he went back into his days of walking the red carpet.
No, yes, I mean, they love it, though.
That's a great... I'm glad you guys brought that up. I was expecting to speak about it today. The idea, again, even before we started focusing on this book, it was to build a great experience for mm-hmm. them. So for many of them, it's their first time to rent a home. For many of them, it's their first time to have a single family home, right? So they've gone from an apartment to a home, and they're excited about it.
Yeah, they're excited when they pick up the keys.
How deflating would it be just to walk on in and grab a set of keys, sign a document, and leave?
Right,
instead, what we've done is we focused it on becoming an experience. Now, I will say that COVID has sort of taken that to a back, but I think the sentiment was right. And what we're trying to achieve for them, and that's deliver an experience.
Right.
Because other companies, not just because other companies aren't doing that, but mm-hmm. because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I think if we anchor ourselves in the right thing to do and keep hiring and building that culture, man, that's where you get not just raving fans out there that want to go out and give you great referrals, but also a company culture where people are banging on your door to work for you.
Mm-hmm. And you have lifelong residents. I mean, I've had resident because of the experience that we're giving them. They're, if the house is too small, they need to move on to a bigger house. We retain that customer. So...
And it can be difficult to do because one of the entities that we are, again, is the property management side. These are homes, and mm-hmm. homes get they're in the weather, right? So, mm-hmm. so there's all kinds of problems and issues that we need to communicate, mm-hmm. right, with owners or tenants or whatever it might be. But I think if we're proactive and there's a relationship already there, then it makes it easier to have those tough conversations, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't, that's where you get those big flare-ups and the big problems that take everybody in the organization. Yeah. Oh my gosh, someone's upset about this. We need to fix this. Where if with the communications there, we can anticipate. And even if we can't anticipate the problem, there's a relationship there that's in the foundation of our working with them that allows us not to have those kind of conflicts.
Right.
Or even if let's just take it one step further. Say we make a mistake, or say there's something that happens that out of our control, but it's still a bad situation. Developing that relationship sure helps smooth out, you know, that nasty thing that they went through, or the mistake that we made, you know, and we'll make it right. But a lot of times that relationship, building that relationship over time, helps you smooth it over and keep them.
That's a great point.
If you make it right,
they're
even more of a loyal family.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And some of the best relationships that I have personally, there might have been a conflict or something in there, and we sort of gotten to that visceral level of human condition, right?
Right.
And now we're over it, and it forms a better bond. Mm-hmm. And that happens. I've seen it 1,000 times with customers too, where they you know, when you make a mistake, there's nothing like a company that says, "I'm sorry, we made a mistake.
Right.
We're going to make it right. Let me show you how.
Yes.
Let me tell you how. I'm sorry that you experienced this." Mm-hmm. It's when you try to hide it or cover it up. That's where companies get in trouble. Mm-hmm. But that's something that you guys innately have, and that's one of the reasons I enjoy working with you guys, is because that just honest, truthful mentality of let's do the right thing.
Yeah,
said it a while ago, and I'll say it again. That is a through line that I think helps build a great culture and inspires people to want to give and do even more.
Absolutely.
And I don't think this is just for, I don't want you guys to think this is just for the property management companies out there. I mean, we obviously have all of our companies are mainly service-based companies. But if you're outside of there, like if you're an electrician, a plumber, some kind of service, maid service, whatever, kind of service business that we have out there, you can apply all this within that same type of business. So like, whether it's like in our plumbing company, it's all the way down to the way our techs dress. Well, first, let's take it one step further. The way the phone is answered when they call when they have an emergency and they have a clogged drain and they need something. It's a way they're taken care of up front where we can get them into the schedule right away. We're not going to, the phone's immediately answered always, so they're not getting a voicemail or something like that. Then they're going to get who the tech is coming out and their name. And then when they show up, they're in full
uniform.
Mm-hmm. They have a badge that has the same name as the customer service representative gave to the client. Down to, there's a lot of women or people that say, "Hey, these guys deal with drains and, poop all day. Like, I don't want to shake this guy's hand."
Of course.
Well, we even, hey, we're going to hand a business card. We're not going to shake their hand because we don't want them to feel like, "Hey, I don't know where this guy's hands have been."
Sure.
I mean, it's just down to the littlest things that make such a great experience.
So
again,
that's awesome that you brought that up. It's right on. You talk about the nuances, the little specific details. That's exactly what adds up over time and culminates into great experience. So and you bring up points about the way the phone's answered, the thought process of and Mr. Reuter bringing the rug and wearing the slip the on to protect
booties
the booties, and, yes. Mm-hmm. And so those are tactics that have been thought out, right? And in some of our best experiences, ourselves as consumers, we're all consumers, right? Mm-hmm. So in those instances, what are some of the best things that we enjoy, our favorite restaurants, our favorite stores? It's those little nuances that they got right. It's those details. Let's take restaurants are easy because most of us, even listeners at home, most of us go to restaurants. Uh-huh. What makes your favorite restaurant your favorite restaurant? Is it because it's the best food you ever had? Is it because it's the best service you ever had?
Or is it the best price? No.
Exactly.
It's the experience. And people will pay, as long as they get the value, they're going to pay.
I'll take average food quality, I guess, or taste, if you will, however you want to describe that. But if I'm getting great service, personalized service, where I really feel like they mean it and they're not just sort of salesy or anything like that, but they mean it, and I'll pay that premium for that experience. And the price, depending on what you're doing, what you're celebrating, you'll pay for that service.
Right,
I guess my point is there's a reason why we frequent these restaurants especially. It is because probably, most more times than not, because of the service.
The service.
Yeah. And the experience. Again, go back to the experience, the way they open the door, to the way they greet you, to the, even to when you made the call to make that appointment or the reservation.
Yeah.
Yes.
How they took that and how they, how were they kind? Was it a pleasant voice at the other side? I mean, you got to think through all of that.
Yeah.
And we did that within our company. We took, we whiteboarded out our entire customer experience. So we took it from when they phone call to when they terminate because they're ready to sell a house. Mm-hmm. What they're going to experience and all the touch points along the way. And then like how, and we're not, trust me, we're not perfect at this and we're still improving. And you'll find out just like in any business, you fix one area, you're like, okay, now I got to ovulate this game or this side of it or this department. And so we whiteboarded across the whole conference room, the entire timeline of a customer. And then from there, we just, okay, every time that client is touched or communicated with, how can we elevate that level of service? Yeah. And we just went through the whole thing and just started improving each and every department. And we're not through it all yet, but we've, I mean, Brett's, you've been a huge part in that upfront part and took a big step on
it, that. It has to be purposeful, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we talk about, like you were saying in the great restaurant experience, just as a metaphor, there's probably a built-in culture or a purposeful tactic that, you know, they built around to make this. Most, more times than not, this doesn't happen by mistake or by accident, especially in large organizations. Mm-hmm. And so to get it to organically blossom is the tough part. And you're right. It does. Once you fix and mitigate one issue, another one pops up. It's sort of, I liken it a lot when we're talking about this in our Thursday meeting. It's sort of like fitness. And believe me, if you can see the camera, I'm not a trainer of any kind or a fitness guru, but it's like if you let it sit too long, the muscles atrophy, right?
Right.
And so you got to constantly work on it and you got to talk about it. And, you know, it's sort of like those conferences I was telling you about. You still got to go to them. You got to do it. You got to do the time so you can get those best practices, but then you got to do the work.
Yep.
You got to implement and inspire to get up and do it each time.
And you think of the games, if you ever go to like the kids, we have young children, so we go to like Main Event or one of those, where the thing pops up and you hit the head down, another one pops up and you're, so I feel like I'm constantly hitting heads all day.
Yeah.
But no, but I mean, that it is a constant, it takes constant, nurturing or constant work.
Yeah.
And discipline. And that's the thing. There has to be discipline and trust within each member of the organization that's on the front lines of talking with customers, because we have to have trust that they're implementing that each time, that they're not letting their life, whatever's happening in their life or the moment or how busy they might be with whatever they have going on for that day to affect that phone call, that they actually stop for a second and pause and have a clean take with that interaction. And that's trust. And they have to have the discipline to do it. And we have to have the trust that they are. Mm-hmm. And that and that just comes with time and I think study.
Yeah. I think consistency.
Yes.
Absolutely. And something that we did as well was we actually, so for a reminder for our employees to, you know, what level of service are you providing your customers? Mm-hmm. We have little cards posted to their computers where, is it criminal? Is it great? Or is it unbelievable? So they know, like, we are striving for unbelievable service. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not striving for anything in between. We're just striving for unbelievable. So how can you do that extra thing to make it to wow that customer?
Yes. And it's customers and also, dare I say, the vendors that we work with as well. Because I speak to more vendors and customers on a day-to-day basis, right? Agencies, whatever it might be. And I practice these techniques with them to have a better experience, right? And now I'll get my vendors that are, you know, more times than not, they're just, here's how it is. Hey, Brett, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Okay, we got that thing. We're going to get it worked out. All right. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Straight to the point.
Yeah. But when I can, I try to slow it down. Hey, how was your weekend? Mm-hmm. You know, how you doing? How are the kids? Or just talk for a second.
And
just,
you're like, whoa, wait, where's that coming from?
Right. And it's because I try to be a good human. Yeah. I just want to know. I want to talk. If I'm going to be dealing with these people on a regular basis, I want to have a relationship and build some rapport.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
And that's what we're trying to do and trying to slow down, let them build a relationship with the customer, and not just for business purposes,
right?
Because we're good people. We want to do the right thing again.
Yeah.
That brought me, when you said that, brought me back to, we did a workshop with our whole staff where we talked about delivering like criminal service all the way to unbelievable. I think the best way to demonstrate that, so the listeners can really understand what we're talking about, it's if you take getting coffee, because everybody, a lot of people drink coffee. So it's from, you know, when you go into a 7-Eleven or I don't want to use it, you know, whatever, any coffee, any gas station on the corner, you know, and you go in and the coffee's burnt. And it looks like that that jar hasn't been cleaned.
Right, it hasn't been cleaned in a couple days. Yeah, so let's say weeks.
You know, it's probably criminal. Right. Or we use a picture, an example of they were cooking hot dogs
in a coffee mug.
That's criminal service. Then you then you might go into another place that has, you know, good service. It's expected, and that's where is what makes the difference. Because a lot of times criminal, they're going to go out of business.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the ones, how do you differentiate yourself from the average to go? Because pretty much, like, let's just say, talk about property management companies. They all do the same level of service. They all collect rent. They all do maintenance. They all, so how are you going to differentiate yourself from them? And especially when it comes to service-based industries, how are you going to differentiate yourself to become an unbelievable? Mm-hmm. And that's where Starbucks kind of did that. Yeah. And if you look, they did they took an ordinary coffee, and then they went, and how they leveled it is they went and got better coffee beans and a better, but then they also created an experience.
Correct. Yeah.
So when you go into a place, you want to sit there, you want to enjoy your coffee, you want to socialize or
love them.
Yeah. And it's, so they're what they did was like, let's not, even maybe their coffee isn't the best, but let's focus on the experience. Mm-hmm. And that's why people keep going back. And then they put your names on the cup and they put, hearts and stuff, you know, to make it feel personalized. Right. And then they went to offering other products. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Frappuccinos, the drink of the month, mm-hmm. you know, sure. to make you, you know, that's elevating it to where today they have these, like high-end coffee places where you can see it being roasted and you can it's a whole another level of service and that's getting you to the unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So that I think that would give you a good picture of what we're talking about as far as
elevating your service. And our staff here, I mean, they see that, and so anytime they, you know, are talking to a customer, they think of that, like, oh, okay, like, is it like, what level of service am I providing this customer?
And we let them call, hey, you can call us out on it. Or I think we give permission that if you see criminal service being done, you need to call out your peers, because that's not how our company operates. That's on our core values. Right. That's not the culture.
I'm glad you said we talked about that on Thursday, mm-hmm. is holding each other accountable. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We want to be an elite organization, right? Well, you have to hold each other accountable. We have expectations of each other, right? I have expectations for you guys. You have expectations for me. And they're high, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's how you get to what you're talking about. That's how you go to that unbelievable. It's built on the nuances and the effort, the culture, the discipline to enact these best practices, but also on technology to be able to gather the information needed to implement.
Yep.
So, again, we're working on all those. We're not afraid to look at what can get us better. And I think that's how we try to achieve it. And maybe we never hit the bullseye, but we keep trying. And that's where the effort is.
Yes.
And that's where the excellence can take place is in the effort to continue to want to build relationships. Right.
Correct. And I don't think there's ever you're going to hit a end. You know, it's a constant and it's always... But if you're consistent, like with your consistent Thursdays, you know, meetings, and you're consistently bringing in books like, you know, this one with Joey Coleman, that's how you keep, you know, teaching and elevating and reinforcing, you know, those values and what we're trying to accomplish. Yeah. So anything you guys want to say to just wrap up the...
That was really good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. Thanks, Brett.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It was a joy on the side. I'd like to cut to some close-ups. It can't happen.
So if you don't know, Brett, we got a movie star in the house. So he's, so he loves being out in the camera. He's having fun here.
Okay, maybe
he's
like a little bit shy.
That was a long time ago. But I do. You know, I think one thing I'll add to the whole conversation here is that one of the things that we do as an organization is we really pride ourselves on self-development, right? And that and it's almost a recruitment factor, like I said a while ago. And so with all of these best practices, these tenets of these books that we go over, the workshop itself, if we didn't have the kind of people that wanted to develop and better themselves, if we had groups of people that are like, I already know everything. I know what I got to do.
They probably won't make it.
That's exactly. Yeah. Then again, that adds to the culture that's necessary for this kind of thing to flower.
Right.
Correct.
Totally agree with that.
Well, awesome. Well, we appreciate you guys listening this week. It was a pleasure to have Brett. We enjoyed it.
Brett.
Yeah, we're going to do this more often. Awesome. And so, again, if you enjoy this, you're getting value out of this, please like it. You know, give us 5 stars, rate us.
Give us a review.
We'd love to hear back from you and give us some feedback.
Yeah.
We love what can we do better?
Absolutely.
And so check us out. Check out InsideTheWolfsDen.com. We're on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you. It's great to join you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolfsDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.